I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping creeping spirits of trees, and the blue true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I who have died am alive again today, and this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and of love and wings and of the gay great happening illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the bell of all nothing, human merely being, doubt unimaginable you? Now the ears of my ears awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are opened. When I bought my first house 10 years ago in Flint, Michigan, I couldn't stop thinking about the things that I would plant there. In the back lot were overgrown shrubs and misshapen trees and a lot of shade. I imagined cutting back the evergreens over a 3-year period, each year removing half of 1/3 of the branches so that in 4 years it would be compact and full green evergreens. I imagined putting the hellebores in a place where there was winter sun, which would be obscured by the growth of spring leaves and then turn again into full shade. The hellebores, of course, would sprout early before the little plants and would blossom in March. You know we call them Lenten roses. Over the course of several years, I removed half of the misshapen arborvitae that long ago had formed a row of pillars in the back of the yard, and began to place in the spaces other bushes. Forsythia, that I got from the county conservation office, and lilacs in several colors. In the plan, the last of the evergreens would have been removed by now, and the overgrown hedge that looks like a mouthful of crooked teeth would have been replaced by a colorful row of diverse bushes. The front yard, well, clearing out the overgrown and misshapen plants, left a place for some floral perennials, azalea bushes and red hot pokers, and even delphiniums, which don't grow so well in the heat of Baltimore, but do just fine in Michigan, thank you. And by the road, in the place where a shade tree had long been removed, would be my bedding exit, my ginkgo biloba. I've spoken about my love affair with that species before. You may get from this description that I like to think about the bushes and flowers and trees that I plant, not just as something that I plant today and get to enjoy in a few months. I imagine my garden as something that will grow over time and will need to be tended over time. A few weeks ago, I saw Claire Milton walking through his amazing field of daffodils and hyacinth and other spring bulbs. He noted how his plantings had changed over time as they set in and established their own lives. He was losing what might be added next fall to complement what was already there. It felt to me that he saw the project as not being done in a day, as it were. Years ago, I was making a film in Armenia, and an artist gave me this proverb, which once upon a time I could have told you in Armenian, but it's long gone. But if you want to be happy for a season, plant a garden. And if you want to be happy for life, plant a tree. I know I want to be happy. I want to be happy for a season, and I want to be happy for life. And I know that my happiness in the future is related to the things I do today and the way that I can imagine my future. You might remember that when I took the Dow organization's strengths under inventory, along with our whole board, a few years ago, that the tests said that one of my strengths is being futuristic. I don't have to write hard on futuristic, but that's all right. People who are strong in the futuristic theme are inspired by the future and by how they want to be. And they inspire others with their visions of the future. I think of myself as a person who loves to plant miracles and to plant them, to imagine the happiness that comes with long-term tending and care, and to expect that small actions today may have complementary results tomorrow. And I hope to be willing and able to do today what must be done for happiness today and tomorrow. It's important to think of the right seed in the right place. You may remember the story that Jesus told of the sower. "Listen," he said, "a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but since it had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, it was scorched, and as it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. But other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And he said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Now the students who were listening to Jesus were baffled. I mean, it made sense to them what he was saying, but he had called them to be fishers of men, not farmers. Why was he talking to them this way? He said, "Do you not understand the story? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, the woes of the world take away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but they have no depth and endure only for a little while. And then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, on account of the truth, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. But these are the ones sown in good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. So the question is, what kind of soil are you? What kind of soil am I? My helper, Archimedes, was working in the yard last week where we had planted 3 apple trees. He was cultivating the soil around the base of each of the trees, and he piled it up on the tree, and I had to point out to him that he needed to be sure that the scar on each of the tree had to be above the soil line. It could not be buried. You may know that most dwarf and semi-dwarf trees, fruit trees, are grafted. The size of the tree is determined by the rootstock, generally from a naturally small. 60-foot tree that would not be very happy in front of my house. It's important for the good future harvest that you have a good seed, yes, and a good combination of stock and sod, and that you have good soil that might yield 30 and 60 and 100-fold, yes. Last month we planted seeds during our Easter service, and many of us took our seeds and eventually our seedlings home to be fostered. Then when they were large enough and the soil was warm enough for them to be planted in the gardens at day spring, well, the seed is important in the nurture of the soil. And then the day comes when they are strong enough and the weather warm enough to allow the seedlings to grow into the plants, which will produce vegetables and may produce happiness. Carla told you this morning our intergenerational religious education program began a new unit on trees. We've been talking about this for a while, and it's happening finally. During this month when we mark Earth Day, youth and children and adults alike will gather at 9:30 a.m. at Day Spring Gardens in East Baltimore. And then they'll get a little dirty, and after some learning, they'll come and join us for church at 11. We're planting, you and I, love and care for each other. And for the mothers and children of Day Spring, we hope that much will blossom in our spirits and in our relationships. This growing, this planting, this tending, this gardening is a spiritual practice. We're approaching a special time in the life of our church, that season each year when we challenge each other to make a commitment to this church and its work, a spiritual and a personal and real commitment. It's a commitment to the church and its work, its building and its staff, its history and its future. Later this month and throughout May, we'll ask 100% every church family to meet with two members of our stewardship team and to talk together, to think with each other about what we've planted in each other's lives. To think about what you and I are growing together. How we mean things to each other. And how we expect things of each other. We'll ask about the ways our church understands and values the seeds that we have planted. And we'll think about our sense of the healthy community we are building to hold these seeds, the good soil that we're creating, to grow 30 and 60 and 100-fold. We'll ask about the commitments each of us will make toward our church's future. For my part, I made a commitment to this church of 5% of my salary, so I commit to this church $4,000. This year, and I imagine I will continue to make a promise for next year about that level. I also give away another $4,000 each year to other UU institutions and to the chorus that I belong to and to the United Church of Christ congregation where my family are leaders and to nonprofit organizations doing great work in this country and around the world that stand up for me, the 10% of my income going to advance the public good. Allows me to feel that I am doing my part, planting my seed, if you will, for beauty and for fruit. And that's that last thing I want to talk about this morning. I saw the title of the sermon go up on the street sign, and I said, oh darn, that's not exactly right. We plant seeds, yes, but do we tend blossoms? Maybe we tend the whole plant. Maybe we tend the corner of the yard. Maybe we tend the system. And maybe that allows the fullest expression of doing this. Well, maybe that is a way of tending. blossoms are just a step toward fruit, toward seeds, to the life that sustains life. I'm touched by the Christian notion of the fruit of the Spirit, which I think we ought to ponder. One place that list of fruit is collected is in a letter to the churches of Galatia, a group of churches that had been founded by the Apostle Paul, a group of churches that were in turmoil about their mission. They were in conflict about whether or not there were old traditions that needed to be held on to as they went forward in a new faith. Did a man, for example, need to be circumcised to become a Christian? This was an important question that divided them. And Paul argued that the religion they practice is one, while rooted in Judaism, does not look backward, but looks forward to something more universal. And how one can tell whether they are on the right path is not determined by adherence to an old way of being, but by the behaviors that are evident in the community of faith. The fruit of the Spirit, Paul writes, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the indicators, not adherence to a checklist of laws and rights, not the set of beliefs that you say you hold, but an expression of generous human process, of ethical living, a place where others can see that we love one another. People observe the joy that we find in being a people together. Our community known as a place of peace, where our members forbear one another, are kind to one another, exhibit goodness, are faithful and gentle, and in our community, even in times of disagreement and change, we exhibit self-control. These are the fruit that emerge from the well-tended blossom and the true seed sown in good soil. I give to this congregation because I want to show that I am a confident and generous person, that I take our faith and its message of wholeness seriously, that on the journey I want to be accompanied by a community of love and joy and peace. That's you. Even as we walk through a world that so often is divided and hostile and even deadly, I want to put my name down for life on this journey with a countercultural tribe that wanders not in the wilderness, but on a journey toward sustainability and generativity and power. I make a promise to this church that is not an easy promise to fulfill, but a challenging one that I myself make. And I derive great meaning by my attempt to be faithful and gentle with self-control. I plant seeds of flowers, yes, and of small perennials at large, and for the greatest happiness, I plant trees. Happiness for life. May the tree that is this church be for all of us a place of majesty and courage, of inspiration and serenity. And so may my life be. And so many. Blessed be Hashem Hashem. Salam. Shalom. Peace. I love you.